Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. I am not here to be average. Every beat I touch is ravage. Look, my ambition is massive. I am not here to be passive. I am not here for you has-been. This is my chance to go grab it.
Yeah, KF for the logo. Distractions a no-go. NPC, your OG, otherwise I'm rolling solo. She been fiending for that good wood, acting like I'm Miyamoto. I ignore it, keep it moving. Look, I'm not trying to be cold, yo. I'm just way too focused on the next move. Loyalty, loyalty, my lady's holding me down. I'm here to bring a Gatsuga 10 shoulder, whatever stage I got to groove. Here's the situation, let's review. It used to be that we were not included in these places. Conversations and movements like some major booking us was too afraid we'd lose it. Know the type, swear with rappers always lacking safety. Try to say we're making every matter racist. When we talk about experiences, every different shade of us a matter racist. So we advocate so people know we have a place here. At these panels, we'll be testifying. Bring the darkness so we get the fire. Then we hit the shows and you can't deny it.
You can't
ask over mom before they think about how hip-hop was denied in this place. Hurry up, mom, and those hope you can reason out what we've been trying to say. Learn to cut the beer missing from y'all conversations. Don't we be present that cause up you make it till we pull up and we make our statements. We're here to stay in love.
Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. I am not here to be average. Every beat that touches ravage. Look, my ambition is massive. I am not here to be passive. I am not here for you has-been. This is my chance to go grab
we got
this.
Classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling.
You, something you'll never do is tell me how to move. I keep on working and hustling, it's undeniable.
See, I don't play these games and you can keep the fame. Cause me and you, homie, we are not the same. Keep holding on, but there is no escape. The future's here to occupy the space and you were never great. I articulate because I think it's appropriate. And you can copy words with ERs and As, but you can never stop what I was born to make, see? I don't have time to care about the lies and things that people will never say to me. I'm making these moves, I'm using these tools in places most of you never gonna see. Talking about either this and how she did that and everything somebody else should do. You're tired of this and tired of that. You're salty cause you never made a move. Talking about all that I do, thinking someone should respect you. This is the way that I see you. Front to the back to the rear view. I will never get it. It's funny how some committed to thinking the status quo is a place of power they can control.
Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. Living this life is amazing. Rapping, we feeling so wavy. I am not here to be average. Every beat that touches ravage. Look, my ambition is massive. I am not here to be passive. I am not here for you has-been. This is my chance to go grab
we this. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling. We got classy eyes, but we broke that glass ceiling.
And that was Glassy Eyes, featuring IQ by Kadesh Flow. That's off his new album, Room Service, and I'm really happy to have Kadesh Flow on Press Start to Continue. Thanks for coming on, man.
What's up, Morlock? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Just really, really busy. It's wild times. It's good busy. You know, it's a blessing to be busy in this way, but gosh, just today's just, this week is nuts.
We have been trying to set this up this interview up for a while. Like, we've been circling each other, like, for a good minute. Yeah, like I said, it's great to have you on. Your new album, Otaku Moods, just came out, I think, about a month ago, on January 25th. It sounds great. And one thing I always talk to people about is, well, my first question is, where did you get your name?
Oh, man, I think mine is a little bit different from a lot of people. It's not nerdy inspired at all. It's actually a heavy spirituality component. When I was in college, I went to I basically can only describe it as like this God conference. And people who attended border from like casual faith to like somewhat radical, from an evangelical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about, just like the meaning of the word Kadesh and basically how it came up. It's a Hebrew word that just means set apart or indescribably different.
Huh.
And that people think holy means like, you know, sanctimonious or what have you. And really people just were using that to describe God because they didn't know what to describe the entity they were experiencing. So they were like, well, we don't know how to describe you, so we'll just call you set apart and different, because that's all we got, basically. And, you know, a lot of things have changed with me since that. But my friends, like, kind of stuck that on me. I really felt very uncomfortable taking it because I was going to go by Absalom Phoenix when I was going to change my rap name, because my rap name used to be BND, which is really lame.
yeah, maybe.
BMD. Yeah, it was really lame. high school moniker I picked up. But they were calling me Kadesh because I'm different and my flow's different, and they had never heard anybody go about talking about things I was talking about, and especially with like the geek and nerd influence on like the social issues and stuff that right. I do. And eventually I just kind of relented and took it. that's really like how that happened. And when I started, I was just going by Kadesh, and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a little, I mean, there's like a Middle Eastern province called Kadesh, and then like the Battle of Armageddon is supposed to be somewhere around, you know, there's a battle of Kadesh. I did Kadesh Flow because my flow is set apart and whatever. And yeah, that's how that happened.
That's really interesting. You know, something that I'm always interested in is, you know, like that stuff like spirituality and everything. Can you tell me what that conference was about or what it is?
Yeah, it was like a youth conference. It was like a faith youth conference. It was kind of like a worship conference, honestly. That was like teen and college student focus that I went to a few times when I was in college, and like the like middle of nowhere, Alabama.
Yeah, like I said, that's something that I like thinking about. Like, it's interesting how different people worship, and specifically like different sects of different religions, and I could just go on and on about that.
Yeah, man, there's a lot, because my journey has been pretty wild, man. I've definitely evolved a lot. I definitely was significantly more fundamentalist than I am now. There's still a lot. There's still a decent amount of stuff that I maintain.
So, what changed? Like, how did you become less fundamentalist, I guess?
Just life experience of being around people, and just like, I'm, you know, pretty empathetic, and just mm-hmm. seeing what reality is versus like what you're told in a bubble.
Yeah.
And being sensitive to what's happening in the world. I mean, those are really like simple answers, but really that's what happened. That's what changed.
So, but the big question that I always ask people, you know, it's Black History Month, and I'm having Black artists on just talking about how their race affects their music or their career and everything like that, you know? Yeah. So how does that affect things for you? I mean, just thinking about nerdcore in general, it's very, you know, white dominated genre of music, if I'll say that. Yeah. And it can, and being black in that kind of space can be unique. So how does that affect you? How does that affect you and your music?
For me, I think initially I was concerned that nerdcore wouldn't really accept me because I had seen, like, I wasn't directly a part of a lot of the communities I'm a part of now and online stuff, but I'd look at, like, message boards, comments on YouTube, things and whatnot, and there seemed to be a disconnect between the traditional nerdcore, so to speak, and, like, some of the people who were people of color or even who just sounded more like underground or mainstream hip-hop, because right. A lot of nerdcore for a long time was in its own lane where there was stuff that any hip hop head would really think was dope, but then there was stuff that just kind of sounded like anti-rap, like ironic, you know, not rap.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the artist is into geek themes and classic hip hop, but isn't into what's happening now. And it felt kind of ironic. And also when I started putting out content, that really was something that didn't happen, that I didn't feel comfortable doing until I saw that there was someone who looked like me doing it, who was Mega Ran.
Oh yeah.
And that really encouraged me a lot. And then right when I started doing that, Richie Branson and I kind of started doing nerdcore around the same time, mm-hmm. out from different experiences. And we linked up, and not to like a dish or anything like that, but people were really trashing both of us when we first really started putting stuff out.
What?
Because we were quote unquote too pandery, and you know, we sounded like we were trying to pander to fan bases while sounding like rap. And to an extent, there was obviously validity to that. Like, I did 3 entire rap mixtapes that were totally request driven. And it started as a content marketing experiment for my MBA program because the startup I was interning for failed while I was interning for it. Ugh. And I had to have some kind of summer credit. there was some validity for it. To those comments, but it was just, there's like definitely a gatekeeping culture in nerdcore.
Right.
And I think you see it lightening up as there are more like marginalized groups breaking into being like, this is not okay.
wait. You said it's lightening up. You're talking about like black people getting kept out of space. It's lightening up.
I didn't think about that. Oh man, that's funny. Oh, that's really good.
So wait a second, people were saying that you were pandering or something, like with your initial music you were like trying to pander to a crowd or something?
Yeah, and like I said, to an extent I was, but I just remember the level of this is not what's supposed to be happening. I'm like kind of sitting, that shadow is not super engaging. Like, this doesn't belong here. And the thing was, like, it doesn't, what we were doing didn't sound quirky. You know, even with the stuff that I did that wasn't produced well, it still sounded like, you know, kind of rappity rap or like somebody who might be trying to get on the radio one day or something like that.
Right.
That's the best way I could put it. Like, you know, just barring out, but it's about, you know, Inuyasha or something, versus like kind of just quirky, happy-go-lucky, like rapping about the stuff I love, which is a lot of nerdcore. And that's great, by the way. Just the seeing that level of gatekeeping in the shadows made me not really want to be a part of the community. And some other people in the collective convinced me to join the the VPC, the Vocalist Producer Challenge, in 2014. And so I tag team with Richie, and we were expected to just get trashed, but we did it because people in the collective convinced us to do it, and we won the whole thing.
Nice.
And like, we really got a lot of love from the, I think, once we really started engaging in the community and whatnot. So that's like the background. But now, I guess, the way I approach things is, Glassy Eyes is a really, is an answer to that question in a song. I just want to give you some background on it.
Yeah, sure.
Because Glassy Eyes is really, hey, the spirit of Glassy Eyes is saying, hey, I'm so amazed that we're here. You know, we're playing some of the biggest conventions in the continental U.S. right now. We're playing some dope music festivals. We can tour out of the COD festivals and actually tour. We have, like, you know, we're building followings, we're growing as artists. We have a long way to go, but it's awesome that we're able to be here. However, we had to break through a glass ceiling to get here, and we need to make sure that that's still a conversation, so people, A, don't forget, and B, don't do it again. Because, like, people like Mega Ran had to break hip-hop into a lot of these cons. You know, there were cons that were, like, the head of programming wanted to book me, and then they got overridden by their board because the board thought I would be inciting violence because I was a rapper, even though, like, I don't even swear in my lyrics, you know?
Wait, what? Inciting violence?
Yep, that's literally, doesn't make any sense. Like, did they listen to my music? And, you know, programming person would be like, yeah. But it's awesome to have gotten to this point where a lot of times we bypass that barrier now, because that was a real barrier. That's something that I'm always aware of as a Black geek / nerdy themed rapper, always aware of and addressing, you know, in some way, form, or fashion in my shows.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that is a running theme with a lot of the nerdcore rappers that I talk to, the people of color, that there's this kind of gatekeeping thing going on, and it's really great that there's a that there's a lightning happening. I'm gonna be laughing about that all day. So I've been actually playing for a while. Prestar is going to be, my, oh god, like 6 years old, coming up in April, and,
woo!
We were talking, before the show about how, I used to play, your earlier stuff, like, back in 2013, and I would be tagging you, on Twitter, and that earlier stuff, I think it's Nerdcrunk.
Yeah.
That stuff was all request stuff. That was all like people writing in.
Yeah, those were entirely request driven. What happened was, I wanted, when I started the Nerdcrunk series over the summer of my first year in the University of Alabama's MBA program.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to do like a track every week on YouTube and SoundCloud thing. I didn't have time to do it because that first year in an MBA program is brutal.
Right.
And that was just too much of a risk. But every so often I was putting out songs. So it really started when I put out a Skyrim app like a week before Skyrim came out initially, in like November 2011. And I hadn't really put anything on YouTube before that. And it got like a pretty strong amount of attention for what it was. And you know, it's like I follow Dan Bull, and Dan Bull, you know, gave me props on the rap, and like and people shared it, and I think it Front Page Reddit and Front Page
Dragonborn.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was I don't remember if it Front Page Reddit or if it Front Page like a massive gaming section of Reddit, but one of my homies hit me up and was like, yo, you're on the front page of whatever Reddit. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I was like, really? And then, so like after that, I did like a Star Wars, The Old Republic rap, which is how Richie and I found each other on the internet, because he dropped the whole Cold Republic tape and we started messaging each other and whatnot. And it was sporadic, but then I did a couple of anime raps and people like requested that I do some more stuff. And I did an entire Bleach anime OST hip hop project. I got a bunch of requests after that. And so from that point on, like, I was literally just making songs for requests. And I did songs that weren't requested, but those projects, I think there's like maybe one or two songs out of the entire three tapes that wasn't requested.
So something I always ask people when they're on the show is, so if I was just a random person and I walked up to you on the street and said, what do you do? what is nerdcore? Like, what is the type of music that you do? Like, can you explain it? Like, if I had no idea, how would you describe that to me?
Honestly, man, I have no idea. Not anymore. I think I did have, I guess, like a more concrete definition. But even the guy, like, if you ask MC Front a lot what nerdcore was, he would tell you that it's evolved and there isn't anything concrete. He coined the term nerdcore. It's just moved around a lot, I think, to where, like, I guess, generally speaking, it's music that highlights aspects or various facets of nerd and geek culture, or nerd and geek interests, which can include science fiction, tech, comics, anime, video games, and what have you. I think the problem with trying to define it now, and I say problem loosely, I mean the difficulty in defining nerdcore now, is that it's a subgenre that, like a lot of subgenres, have kind of bled out into the greater genre of hip-hop, nerdcore hip-hop. Anyway, nerdcore isn't just hip-hop. Yeah. But the nerdcore hip-hop specifically has kind of bled out, the same way that, like, chiptune has kind of bled out a little bit into, like, the greater realm of EDM. And especially with, like, how pop culture has absorbed so much of what was considered geeky or nerdy at one point is now, like, super-duper pop culture. It depends on where you go. So, like, in Alabama, and really in a lot of places I went, you know, people were like, oh man, you're rapping about anime, you're rapping about video games, that's wow, that's dope, I've never heard that. I get to Kansas City, and I don't know if you know much about Kansas, like, strange music here, like Tech N9ne's label, like Chris Calico and Seth's crew, and mm-hmm. all these like monumental independent rappers. There's just like a ridiculous amount of dope MCs in Kansas City. I'd say like Kansas City, Bay Area, and New York. It's like,
really,
you know, like Chicago too, you know, there's like certain parts of the country where it's like it's a rapper city and people really, really spit. And I was explaining nerdcore to somebody who I thought knew and didn't ask me what it was, because they had a lot of bars that would be considered dirty bars that were dope. And he was like, oh, you just rap. And I like looked at him like he was crazy, because it was like so like. Wait. He like it was just like a regular thing, and then I really noticed that there are these monstrous MCs here, and they're all nerds, man, and they're moving into significant portions of independent hip hop realms, you know, like. There's a rapper named G Mosky who's really, really making it himself. And he's got this like 8-bit beat, and he's rapping about being a final boss, and that joint's fire. And that song is, you know, from an underground standpoint, kind of huge. And he's not a nerdcore rapper, but he's definitely a nerd. I remember opening for Seth's crew at a show that had a bunch of like dope independent artists in there. In Lawrence, Kansas, and like we're in the green room and everybody's rolling up and talking about anime. And I'm not talking like mainstream, like, you know, shonen stuff, like your DBSs and your, you know, One Pieces or whatever. I'm talking about like deep coats, deep cut kind of stuff, you know. You know, somebody was getting roasted because he hadn't seen Akira, you know? Like, so I think with that, like, context, it's kind of hard for me to define nerdcore. It's easier for me to talk about what I rap about, because I literally rap about what I experience, what I see, and what I consume, and relating that to, like, what's going on with me internally and externally. And that's kind of, it's become easier for me to describe where I'm coming from lyrically than it is or actually is as time has passed.
So you got a new album that just came out called Otaku Moods. And I wanted to talk to you about one of these tracks. It's called Picking Up. It's featuring Atlas.
Yep.
And let's listen to it. And then after we can talk about how it was created, anything that went into it, process. But this is Picking Up by featuring Atlas. It is off the album Otaku Moods, and you're listening to Press Start to Continue.
Dash. Oh God, dear God, help me, cause I'm so blind, so blind. I dealt me a whole lot of stress from some bad decisions, a whole lot more from my ambition. I strategize and attack the prize, I fantasize and I grab my life. I make plans, but I've never known what to do. Epiphany's passion and planning, but I never had a clue. Plus she said she needed something new. Words that kept me deep, she didn't see my awkward faces, but it brought me to my knees. I really needed conversation, best belief. My heart was racing, then retreated, sinking in the depths of grief and condemnation. Never peach, I always treat them like they need a lot of saving, when they always rescue me. Now I'm here just wishing that I could hear the breath she breathes. Fighting when a song's not sure how to move along to reach a healthy me.
Thought about giving up, but it wouldn't make sense, cause it's picking up. My father told me I should live it up, with a purpose, now things are picking up. Ambitions that I didn't trust, that I'm missing, now things are picking up. I love this, I can't get enough, see me now, my everything's picking up.
Yeah, this is what I've let in my brain, going after things I thought I'd never attain. But I threw those thoughts over the rails like Vader tossed Palpatine. I don't have time to be dismayed, lost out in dreams. All the things I used to do was using you as my excuse. Needed more security if we were gonna be the truth. Blaming you for my decisions, that logic was pretty loose. Couldn't get my head on straight without sending you through the roof. Now I'm squashing feelings, trying to meet, connect, and network. Though my net worth's below par, I'll reinvest first. Now these conversations are starting to bring me checks. Used to feel salty seeing Facebook homies glean respect. They were touring, getting crowds in the thousands. I was at a bar watching locals straight styling. They were signing deals, all their dreams becoming real, they were building. Now I'm in the same boat, working towards fulfillment, eh?
Thought about giving up, but it wouldn't make sense, cause it's picking up. My father told me I should live it up, with a purpose, now things are picking up. Ambitions that I didn't trust, that I'm missing, now things are picking up. I love this, I can't get enough, see me now, my everything's picking up.
They grab me for shows, and you know I snap at every party. Hungry in the game, about to go cat this on everybody, yeah. That means I rebel against the paradigm, yeah. Never been concerned about a paradigm, yeah. Too busy on the move, things are picking up, yeah. Praise God, pops, keep me lifted up, yeah. Peak game, I can never give it up, yeah. Growth and progression, I can't get enough.
Thought about giving up, but it wouldn't make sense, cause it's picking up.
My father
told me I should live it up, with a purpose, now things are picking up. Ambitions that I didn't trust, that I'm missing, now things are picking up. I love this, I can't get enough, see me now, my everything's picking up. Thought about giving up, but it wouldn't make sense, cause it's picking up.
My father
told me I should live it up, now things are picking up. Ambitions that I didn't trust, that I'm missing, now things are picking up. I love this, I can't get enough, see me now, my everything's picking up.
That was Picking Up. That was by Kadesh Flow from his new album, Otaku Moods, featuring Atlas, and it's really awesome to have Kadesh Flow on Press Start to continue. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I wanted to talk more about Picking Up. Can you tell us about the song, like how it came to be and everything like that?
Yeah, so my homie, Desmond Mason, he goes by D Professor, producer out here out of Kansas City, also an amazing piano player, jazz artist. He actually said, hey man, I won this national 8-bit beat competition, and I don't know anybody who would mess with this beat like you do. And he just shot it to me. And a little bit about what's coming, we might get to this later, we might not, but I'm working on a project called The Last Excuse right now. It's kind of the Otaku Moods is a prequel to The Last Excuse, and all this stuff was written between June 2015 and September 2016, which is around when I realized, A, that my ex and I were in this kind of purgatory thing where we had broken up, but we were still attached at the hip, and it was like, okay, we're either going to get back together or we have to stop talking. And at the same time, I was realizing with the way, you know, everything I put out, if I tried to do anything in music, it actually like happened when I worked towards it. And I was like, oh, I may actually end up doing this. And I was in corporate America, really, you know, kind of crushing it in my first job out of grad school. And so that idea freaked me out because I knew I was eventually going to have to be like, hey, I have to actually try this, which means I may need to leave some money on the table temporarily from a corporate standpoint.
Put up or shut up, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And from that, I wrote well over 100 songs, just therapeutically, you know, exploring myself and narrowing those down and working on those. Ultimately, ended up being Otaku Moods. Some of it is Otaku Moons. There's a Last Excuse, and then there's a thing after it called Now That the Chips Has Fallen. It's part of the Flashbacks and Come Ups trilogy. So it's like background for Picking Up was something that I actually wrote in, I want to say, like, April 2016. And it's a mixture of, you know, hey, I'm making moves now. I just played MAGFest with the NPC for the time. A few months before that, and then a few months before the MAGFest thing, my ex and I had stopped talking. And so that's really what you hear in the lyrics of that song. Things are picking up, but I'm kind of longing. And that song had just been sitting there, and D-Dot shot me that beat, and it was kind of perfect. So I had the hook. Atlas actually produces for me a lot, but he's a great singer and also a dope MC. He's a great songwriter. And I asked him to take the hook that I had done and just freak it a little bit, and he obliged.
So, I mean, obviously, it turned out really well.
Thank you.
And, you know, I was thinking that it sounds kind of jazzy, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that you actually play jazz. You have an instrument, what? I can't remember.
Trombone. Play trombone.
Trombone. That's right.
Yeah.
And that just makes me think about how the music kind of sounds kind of jazzy, like really smooth. Maybe that has, I don't know, something to do with it. But that really also reminds me that you play trombone with other members of the NPC collective, the Nerdy People of Color collective, particularly CMF. Is that right?
So the Creative Mind Frame is actually the very first person I met in person from the NPC Collective. So I had a work trip at the time when I was still in corporate in Dallas, and we got lunch, and then we met up the next day, I think, and got drinks. And we talked about eventually doing that because he talked about how he admired in music and took theory and still plays and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, we should do it. The follow-up was he was booked for Dallas Comic-Con to play this gigantic after party they had. And I came down and played trombone on one of his songs. And then from that, it just grew from there. And then I don't remember what started it. It might have been MAGFest. A lot of stuff started at MAGFest 2016 when when Mega Ran had the Random Beat Showcase, he convinced MAGFest. He had like three mainstay shows, and he convinced MAGFest to let him turn one of them into a showcase so he could show them all of us so they could get more hip hop in MAGFest. And
yeah, so they could see, you know, the violence that you'd be inciting.
and for the record, like MAGFest for the record, MAGFest wasn't one of the people that said that, or yeah, one of the cons that said that. And what I love the people at MAG. I don't want to put that energy out on them.
No, MAGFest is great. Like all the different kinds of MAGFest and everything. It's a great music festival to bring people together, just around the awesome thing of video game music, right?
Yeah. But we, Creative Mindframe and I played for a number of the members of the collective at that showcase. I want to say that it really, really, really started then.
Can you tell us more about the NPCC or the Nerdy People of Color Collective?
Yeah. The Nerdy People of Color Collective is, I guess, a network that exists for the purpose of increasing awareness and representation for marginalized in nerdy and geek spaces, in a nutshell. And there are a lot of facets to that. Thus far, it's been mostly through content creation and live performances, but what it's turned into is a lot of sustained dialogue and panel discussions. There will be writing, because it started with mostly rappers. It was a bunch of rappers, and then Xavier Woods from the WWE. And now...
A while ago, I was on the NPCC website, and it was like rapper, and then wrestler? Just WWE? Yeah.
What?
I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, Mega Ran has a relationship, but he's really been building Angel, but he has a strong relationship with Xavier and the New Day tag team group, and I think they actually had the initial conversation about this collective, and Ran was aware of all of us, and he knew some of us already. Like, I didn't know him personally, but sort of for another day, I'd emailed him to ask him if he took intern when he was
an intern.
I did. It's hilarious. but there was a gathering at, I think, Nerdapalooza in 2013, which doesn't exist anymore, in Orlando. And everybody went except me. I couldn't go because I had literally just started my first job out of college. And I couldn't justify, like, traveling in the middle of training. Because I was still basically in, like, new associate training. But everybody else who is an original collective was at Nerdapalooza, and it kind of started from there. What's happened now is awesome because now it's more of a network, and you know, we're building a structure of like getting some of the people like yourself actually like it. You know, there are in this greater network that are communicating a lot into like the core member stage. We're trying to do more of a committee thing where we have like. Where we're just more organized in our output, and that's gradually coming. But the beautiful thing about the collective is that it's been so organic that, you know, even though, you know, I think all of us wish we were more organized from the jump, there's so much that we've done that's really, really dope and kind of unreal. And there's stuff that's coming that is even more ridiculous and is constantly elevated. There's been a consistent level of elevation for the collective where it was kind of ran. And Xavier Woods and everybody else, and you know, it was Rand and Xavier Woods and Samus and Richie and everyone else, and now kind of becoming the collective, and everybody is really, really moving at different levels still, obviously, but it, you know, people are really starting to make a name for themselves to where like people know if they're asking for the NPC collective, whatever they get from us is going to be dope. And that's the conversation we're having with like conventions right now, like all the time. And that's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And just thinking about all these people of color, all these artists of color, just getting together and creating something like this to support each other and to proper each other up and everything. That is really, just really wonderful. And it's really cool that I can play a small part in that. But I wanted to ask you about this next song. It's called Party Thoughts. It's also from Otaku Moods. It's featuring Jessica Page. Can you tell me about the creative process of that? How that came about and all that?
Yeah, that was also in this process of talking flashbacks between June 2015 and September 2016. I was feeling a lot of pressure, just trying to come up in the corporate ladder, but also trying to book all these shows. I was recording at the time that, you know, I was, you know, stressed out about this whole relationship purgatory thing, like the not girlfriend, girlfriend. And we dated like all through college, you know, so it was like this, it's not like some casual thing. It was like we were together for a long time. Yeah, it can't stay away from each other. So I was just like, you know, kind of partying uncharacteristically more than I usually do. And I wrote about just the beer that I had sitting at a bar that I frequent a lot, a music venue I love, actually, just taking shots and watching, you know, people on the prowl, and you know, kind of sort of being on the prowl a little bit myself, but not really, because I'm in relationship purgatory. But I'm in relationship purgatory, and that conflict, and then thinking about somebody who is at home working obsessively, and how that should be me, and how much that bothered me. That's basically what Party Thoughts is. Another sidebar: Jessica Page, she's a phenomenal vocalist here out of KC. She's doing a lot of awesome stuff nationally too. She actually was an American Idol top 12 person a few years back. She's really good. She's awesome. She one took this hook and then just did a background layer, and I gave her some change and she walked out. And we're like,
just laid down.
Yeah, and it's not like out of any. Yeah, like not like any like disrespect or anything. But she just like walked in there and crushed it and left. And I was like, yo.
So it's really cool. It was really great to have you on. I've really wanted to get you on the show for a while. Remember, everybody, go to the show notes on the website, starttocontinue.com, for all of Kadeshvo's information. Follow him on Twitter and whatever he's got, Bandcamp, and get all his music. It's really cool to also, because I always like ending the show with one of your tracks. It's been something that I've been doing for a while, you know?
So I always love seeing those tweets, those press start to continue tweets. And now I love ending the show with Kadesh Flow. Here's a song. And I'd be like, oh!
So... Yeah, so like I said, it's great to have you on. Everybody check the websites, starttocontinue.com, or if you listen on podcast, look in the show notes below. This is Kadesh Flow. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Morlock. Appreciate it.
No problem. So this is Party Thoughts by Kadesh Flow from Otaku Moods. That was just released recently and is featuring Jessica Page, and I hope everybody has a good night, and I'll talk to you next time.
The third eye is your intuition.
There isn't any real need to change things just for the sake of changing.
They began to recognize.
Yeah. Flashing lights, habits fight to keep me out in this active night. Bass is knocking, they can shake the floor. Face is talking while the drink is poured. My racing heart is trying to take some more, but I feel the pull about to race for doors. I don't understand why I'm here right now. Obvious answers get wasted, sure. Been making music, I can make some more at another time. Maybe during a moment when the sun will shine, cause at night everything is undefined. Procrastination gets underlined. And if I work all day and a party all night for the fun I'll find, when does realness come into play? Say I'll get it a different day. Keep praying that soon I'll hit my pace. Got a bad lady in my face. Deadlines, I got deadlines. Bros trying to make sure I'm that kind. I wanna guarantee that we fetch dimes, but somewhere somebody else is working. He's hungry and he's deserving. He needs money, he sets his purpose. He'll reach his before I reach mine. Cause nothing deters him, no wild nights that can break his focus. No regrets when those dates are over. Fitness goals celebrating closure. While I'm here inebriated posing, and all my actions cast down the weather. I really wanna have greatest moments, but that's failure.
Is it seasonal?
chasing the bag. Got me wildin' out in this place. Shots and I think of my dad, wondering what he would say. Dream is consuming my head, I just needed to escape. Under pressure, out here rap pursuing life, ain't really working. How the pastor do it? Look, I see it twerking, making rapid movements. Got a needy exit, look, we both been choosing, then I'm needing the two. Air smells of weed and perfume, DJ like y'all with the boom. Last shot hit me in the chin like a duke. Different size of a get eyes like Ryu and Akuma. I just up the prayer and the grounded in my room, huh? I never needed us to pee for the teach me. But when they talk about my achievements, I seem to be legion. Gotta be privy to the secrets, they speak and they leave me. People believing that I'm gonna make it look easy. Hoping that none of us see me after beating on my chest, though. Because I'm dreaming to keep beating and it's stressful. My generation's opportunity is successful. Not a problem when I'm trying to be successful. I wanna fall like origami. Out on the lights, but no, you got me. World on my shoulders, call me coming. At least never feels that way. Still don't know why I'm in this place. Can't seem to find the strength to vacate.